Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Seed of wisdom,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a custom among major feasts to say Happy Feast. Today is the major feast in the church of the year. First of all, the information about the parking, I think you've seen what we have. And there's a notice. Does anybody here have the car parked in the Jesuit parking lot?
Behind us?
Yes, over there. Because I'd have to ask you to move it. I got word from both my superiors, so. And so it's very simple. This then will become a kind of rule for other visitors to Lansing Riley Hall. And then tonight what I thought I would do is first, as I had promised, to say something more about the purpose of the Ignatian Catechists, which then applies by implication to the Marian Catechist too. And what I thought I would do is spend some time, maybe 45 minutes or so, in pulling out the statement of Pope Julius III, who in 19, see how updated I am, who in 1550, it's not Paul the VI in 1950, but Pope Julius III in 1550 published a document which is in our constitutions of the Society of Jesus. And what I thought I would do is pull out the important statements of the Pope on the purpose of the Society of Jesus, and then, since by extension and application the Ignatian Catechists are somehow to live out that spirit of the Society of Jesus, I'd first read the text, make some commentary, and then open up for any comments you might want to have. As you know, the Society of Jesus has three dates to its foundation. 1534, when the Companions of St. Ignatius first united with papal approval. Then in 1540, when they were formally approved by the Holy Father as a pontifical religious order. Then in 1550 by Pope Julius III, from which I wish to quote. I wish to say that historically, already at the time of St. Ignatius, he foresaw that the immediate members of the Society of Jesus, in his judgment, would not be many. However, he did anticipate that the influence would reach throughout the world. As a consequence, from the very beginning, even before he founded the order, he gave the spiritual exercises to lay people in order that they in turn be inspired by the same basic spirituality might cooperate with the Society of Jesus in the extension of Christ's kingdom. In one word or in one sentence, the purpose of the Society of Jesus is to extend the kingdom of Christ. Which, as you know, is the very heart of the spiritual exercises. Not long after St. Ignatius' death, it was formed what was called for 400 years, the Sodality of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which remained in existence until the Second Vatican Council. And the members of the Sodality were then, both men and women, who cooperated with the Society of Jesus in different countries of the world. I would not be a Jesuit today except for my having been a Sodalist, as we were called in my college days at John Keel University in Cleveland. In other words, for Ignatius, involving the laity in the extension of Christ's kingdom is always of the essence of what we would call Ignatian spirituality. And even as we were organizing, began about 8 years ago, first the Marian, then the Ignatian catechists, running through my mind, not only then, but for years before, was the fact that the condition of the church in the 20th century, certainly the second half of the 20th century, is not unlike the condition of the church in the 16th century. There was desperate, and the adjective is deliberate, there was desperate need for reformation. Then, and I would add, now. And one of the pities, I might say, of the Anglo-Saxon world, and so much of, especially, English literature, has been the fact that we almost identified the 16th century with the Protestant Reformation. There was no Protestant Reformation. Period. There was great need of a reformation of the Catholic Church. And the Reformers, as they call themselves, the very word Reformers, has become part of our English vocabulary. The very Reformers recognize, as any intelligent, and I would even say sane Catholic, recognize their church needed reformation. Well, then the so-called Reformers did in the 16th century was to rebel against the established authority in the Catholic Church, especially the Bishop of Rome, and then started a brand of Christianity which was entirely their own when six nations were lost to the Catholic Church. Back to ourselves. That is why the need for what Ignatius, under divine inspiration of the Church, says, believed was necessary then, is, if anything, even more needed today. The church needs reformation. And just for the record, Pope John the 23rd, when he summoned the Second Vatican Council, said exactly that. The purpose of Vatican II was to reform the church. Well, the church needed reformation in 1962, when the council was convoked. It should have needed it in 1992. Now the key passage. There are two parts to the quotation. Which is the most definitive statement of the Bishop of Rome as to the purpose of both the Society of Jesus and of those who were associated with either the Society of Jesus in particular or with Ignatian spirituality in general? Let me first read, then I'll go back to explain. I'm quoting Pope Julius III, July 21st, 1550. Before this, he's speaking about the society that St. Ignatius founded. Then says the Pope, and I quote, "It is founded chiefly for this purpose. First, to strive especially for the defense and propagation of the faith." And notice the word defense comes before propagation. "And for the progress of souls in Christian life and doctrine." So that's the purpose which the Catholic Church in its highest authority has declared is the purpose of the Society of Jesus. Then what I'm trying to share with you, the purpose of the Ignatian Catechists, to strive especially for the defense and propagation of the faith and for the progress of souls in Christian life and doctrine. Having said that, what are the means? After I go through both aspects, I'll go over them in more detail. By means of, I'm quoting Pope Julius III, by means of public preaching, comma, lectures, comma, and other ministries whatsoever of the Word of God. That's the key of the Word of God. In other words, God's revealed truth to be propagated by preaching, lectures, and other ministries whatsoever, comma, and further, this may surprise you, by means of the spiritual exercises, the teaching of children in unlettered persons in Christianity, and the spiritual consolation of Christ's faithful, unquote. Let's go back. The twofold purpose that the Church understands is the end or goal of the Society of Jesus, and therefore by implication of all those who are in any way associated with or identified with the Society of Jesus. I think I told you I was in Rome on other business, but I made sure I got formal permission from my own general aide in Rome for the name Ignatian Catechists. May sound competitive. It's not supposed to be competitive. It should be cooperative. Especially for the defense and propagation of the faith. The moment we say defense and propagation of the faith, we imply two things. We imply that the Catholic faith is being opposed, being questioned, denied, challenged. You don't defend what is not, well, somehow under siege. Would you agree that Catholic faith is under siege today? One implication that I don't think I've ever really expanded on, but my hope is, and if necessary, spend an hour or even more on this. There is need, and grave need, for those who will defend the Catholic faith, on the one hand, to know their faith and know it well. And knowing the faith is by now, I think you realize, is not just repeating syllables. But it also means that we know something about, well, the challenge, the opposition. In the 16th century, the challenge and opposition came from within the church. When, as we know, the whole British hierarchy, except for one man, remember? Who was that? John Fisher. They all broke with Rome. And just to illustrate, called yesterday from California. A woman called me up. I've never met her. Told me that they've started altar girls in her diocese. And a number of the people complained. So the pastor, at a very formal gathering, announced to the people, well, we will temporarily postpone having altar girls. But if within a year the Pope does not approve, we're going to have altar girls, because the Pope has no right to tell us what to do in this diocese. And then I trust you agree applies not only to what is on the surface a relatively minor issue. It really isn't. But the authority of the Vicar of Christ is being challenged widely and very intelligently, and I have to add, effectively in our day. Consequently, one of my expectations of the Ignatian Catechists is that you know the opposition. I don't mean so much that you know the names of certain people, nor even necessarily that you do a lot of reading. And let me warn you, from years back, when I realized that in God's providence, I would be involved in, well, teaching and defending the faith, I made sure that I read the most intelligent, perceptive, and influential, to give them a name, heretics that I could find. This may sound strange to you, But, for example, I found the one heretic whom I highly respected for his intelligence. In fact, in my judgment, the most intelligent Protestant leader ever in almost 500 years is John Calvin. But I never read John Calvin without first praying. And I did not just soak my mind in John Calvin. I wouldn't even read too much. So it would not just enter my mind and just float around there. I read a certain amount. And even as I was reading, I would ask myself, now what's wrong with this idea? How do I answer it? We in the United States have been saturated with error from the youngest to the oldest of us, beginning with the speaker. We are living in a society whose atmosphere, in large measure, is the atmosphere of error. Error on some of the most fundamental principles. I don't say just of Christianity, but even of right reason. However, and this is where I want to make sure, because I have a responsibility before God, I want to make sure that those who, again in God's providence, who not only say nominally be Ignatian catechists, and the same applies to the women as Marian catechists, but with a special emphasis for the Ignatian catechists, in my judgment, the concentration should be on doctrine, on faith. That a person will not only be called, even be considered, say, an Ignatian catechist, but if God is to use that person for the defense and propagation of the faith, that person had better be able in his own mind to cope with a massive and very intelligent errors in which our nation is literally enveloped. Consequently, and I'm sharing this with you because of such plans as I have for the future. And I do think that we should continue, if not every week, at least regularly, with going over the questions and explaining the answers, because those explanations are really the faith. The questions are, in most cases, just one line long in print, and the answers, most cases, just one letter or a number, 21, 28, 63. Anyone, a child of six, probably knows how to write the letters TNF and can count up to 100, can, shall I say, take these tests. What's really needed is to get behind the answer, because behind the answer is our faith. That you should be able to read, and not just as recreation, whether you never read anyone who is not Catholic dealing with matters religious, you never read those people for recreation, comma, never. And they can be very recreational. And one of my hopes is, and one of my assignments, I'm not giving the assignment, I'm just spelling out what I trust with God's grace I have in mind, is to find in present day writing the most intelligent attacks on the faith in moral matters. You simply have to know what's going on. Now, most people are sheep. Most people are followers. In any society, in any age of history, the number of authentic leaders has been few. They've always been a small minority. Most people want to follow. And sometimes a lot of they protest. Well, the more sheepish they really are. Somebody then has got to know what the really penetrating minds, and often those who have been Catholic, are saying and writing. Because notice, the Vicar of Christ is spelling out, and this is the most concise spelling out of the purpose that St. Ignatius had for founding the order which he established, and as a consequence, what we are to pass on to others. The first is the defense of the faith. Back already in the 13th century, that's what St. Thomas did, remember, in the Summa. Article after article, question after question. Make a statement. However, it seems that maybe 5, 6, 10 or more very intelligent and penetrating contradictions. Then in the 16th and into the 17th century, you heard about St. Robert Bellarmine. It would be well if you read The Life of St. Robert Bellarmine by James Broderick, a British Jesuit. James Broderick. The original volumes were two, is now, I think it has not been condensed. I think the print is probably a little smaller, maybe more pages. It's in one volume and should be in print. St. Robert Bellarmine. My doctoral thesis in Rome was on St. Robert Bellarmine. And he spent most of his life defending the Catholic faith against the by then. He died in 1621. By then, the most penetrating and devastating errors propagated by the Protestants. In those days, there wasn't the same access we now have, say, to the heretical reading. He had special permission. And the complete set of his works defending the Catholic faith is about 12 volumes, 2 inches thick, 18 inches high. They probably fill about 40 or 50 volumes in standard print. I believe sincerely, under God, that we'll begin to to strengthen the faith and even propagate the faith. Only when there is such leadership as can defend the faith and defend the faith against people who by now may be very sincere in their attacks on the Catholic Church. Consequently, not merely exposure to, but familiarity with what by now is an ocean of literature. By the way, just for the record, the Detroit News and Free Press are daily filled with all sorts of explicit or implicit attacks on the Catholic faith. However, I'm not telling you to read as one of your spiritual assignments the Detroit News or Free Press. Why not? Because they themselves are just mouthing what Wayne State, Michigan State, University of Michigan, to just identify three local state universities, have been teaching for years. How well I know. Then the propagation of the faith. As we know, the word propaganda now, just to see, well, those who are not favorable to the Catholic Church, what they've done with our most sacred vocabulary. The very word propaganda is the Latin name, first of two words, for a Vatican congregation, which until recently, and for centuries, was called Propaganda Fidei. In other words, propagare means to propagate, to generate. The gerundif, propagandus, a, or is the imperative. In other words, for the duty to propagate the faith. Now, every English dictionary in print identifies propaganda. Am I making sense? With what? Well, it's disseminating some harebrained idea. Who knows the origin of hocus pocus?
The consecration?
Sure. Hoc est enim corpus meum. During my studies in theology, and then after I came back to teach theology with my fellow Jesuits in studies and later on my students, many were from Latin America. Now, as you know, most of Latin America is nominally Catholic. And Latin American Catholics have not had always a good reputation for being the most zealous and faithful Catholics. But here's what they tell me. They say, this is the people in Latin America. Scratch a Latin American Catholic. Oh, pardon me. Scratch a Latin American atheist, and you find a Catholic. Scratch a North American Catholic and you find a Protestant. I'm just beginning to write a series of lectures that I hope to begin on Friday night in Chicago on the Catholic discovery of America. This, by the way, is also one reason to be engaged in something that will, once you decide on a certain course of action, if it's advertised, well, I better be ready. Except for the Catholic Church, now somebody else, you might see no doubt, would have discovered. Imagine. 1492 A.D. And the European world, for that matter, the Euro, Afro, Asian world, did not even know, as a people, whatever Vikings, whoever may have somehow wandered into Labrador, about there being a whole continent, in fact, two continents. Except for the Catholic Church, there would not have been a discovery of America, the one that we know. And Isabella, except for her, Columbus would never have got to America. Columbus himself, a deeply believing Catholic. Well, 500 years later, I really believe that God is giving us special graces during this year. But we better have our eyes open. After 500 years, what are we finding? Philip was brought here. How many? Speak of my own fellow Jesuits, not to mention Franciscans, Dominicans, and diocesan priests who shed their blood. At table this evening, I was telling my converts about the effect that it had on me when I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. 60 Catholic churches in Chicago on sale. People just either lost their faith or moved out, and nobody, for all practical purposes, is doing anything to evangelize these people. So to propagate the faith. Let me tell you, you've got to be deeply, and I mean deeply motivated, to have this rise above or sink below the academic level. And then, second, for the progress of souls in Christian life and doctrine. In other words, if I were to use three verbs for the purpose, then I would identify with the Ignatian catechists. First, to defend the faith. Second, to propagate the faith. And thirdly, to promote or make progress in both faith in believing and in conduct in living. In my judgment, I've told this to more than one audience. The murder of over 60 million unborn children in the world. Hate to say it, but I mean it. Is heavily on the conscience of Catholics. We have not been doing what I've just spelled out. And by the way, this is not just the Society of Jesus or Ignatian catechists. This is our faith. This is Christianity. This is the gospel. Yes, what time it is? 7:30. Okay. Let me then, if I may go on, to the means. By means of, I remember, this would be directly addressed to members of the Society of Jesus, of whom there are about 1,000 already at the time of St. Ignatius' death. Public preaching. Now, my vocabulary distinguishes preaching from teaching by saying that preaching is teaching, but teaching the faith in order to motivate the will. Preaching is teaching of the faith in such a way as to motivate the will into action. For too many years, I've been ordained 44 years, so I've had at least a lot of experience, a great deal of teaching the faith has been cerebral. There's one thing that after 17 years of having known Mother Teresa, my first meeting with her, I think I told you, 5 hours. And the one thing she wants to get across, and I'll be in Washington on Saturday, have a board meeting in the morning, in the afternoon, from 2, that's my schedule. I tell the sisters, I get more orders from the missionaries of charity superiors than I get from my own Jesuit superiors. And they can be very specific. Tell you exactly when to start, how long you talk. They even tell you what to say. I was to have given a seminar to the missionaries of charity 10 days in Phoenix, Arizona. I get a call about a week before. Could I change it from Phoenix to Tijuana, Mexico? What happened? And Mother Teresa is recovering. And she told me, that's the superior of the West Coast, told me to call you up. And she didn't say tell you, but to ask you, would you please come to Tijuana? And I understand you were going to speak on, and then she told me what I had planned to speak on. And instead of what you were going to speak on, to please speak on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 areas. But what I found, and this is crucial, and this is by my dealings not only with her, but by now over the years with the missionaries of charity, is positive genius in associating teaching of the faith with living the faith. And somehow the Ignatian catechists have got to resolve that. We are such a cerebral society. Many people will spend, as you know, years in study. How will I know? And not seriously asking themselves, how am I going to put my education to use? Especially, say, to spiritual use. By means of public preaching, lectures, and other ministries whatsoever, but the key word is the Word of God.